Welcome to the DC Daily Drop, your one-stop shop for today's important news in DC movies, TV, and comics. Here are your hosts, Tom and Zach.
The DC Daily Drop. I'm Tom.
And I'm Zach.
And today we're going to be talking about The Button, Part 2, the comic book crossover between The Flash and Batman. And this is the second of four issues, and it is from The Flash number 21. Written by Joshua Williamson and art by Howard Porter. So we're going to be spoiling this if you are not up to date on this comic. We already reviewed the first part. You can find the link to that in the show notes. But in that one, essentially, was a lot of setup for this, where Reverse Flash went to the Batcave, beat the snot out of Batman until the Flash showed up, and Reverse Flash touched the button. He said he saw God, and that just led to some blue streaks and him getting dead.
Yes.
Does that sum it up pretty well?
Yeah, it's pretty well. Yeah, so this one, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Howard Porter. The art by Howard Porter looks pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good art. Jason Fabok did Batman, right? And he's one of my favorite, but I didn't notice a drop-off or anything like that in this issue.
Yeah, I really like what they do with The Flash, where even when he's standing still, there's just like electricity or speed force, kind of, not electricity, obviously, but speed force just kind of emanating around him. And he kind of gives him the sense that he's always moving really quickly, which he probably is because he's The Flash.
Like he's always charged up, just right. Needs some place to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really liked what they did with that. This issue had a lot of exposition. So, like, if you're not caught up on, like, Flashpoint or what happened there, I guess not a ton, but it definitely gives you enough to understand what's going on. If you haven't read any of the other comics before this, other than The Button Part 1, you'll be fine. So, that was nice of them. It didn't seem like heavy-handed, and it didn't seem like it was too much or anything, so.
Right. I didn't even notice it now that you mentioned it, but obviously they have to do that in a crossover like this, but they did mention all of those things. They mentioned Flashpoint and everything with Rebirth, where Wally returned and everything like that, but it never seemed forced, or that was the only reason they were doing it. It didn't seem like too much. It seemed like just the right amount.
Yeah. And it kind of opens up in a similar way that the first part of The Button opened up, where they're seeing somebody, this time it's Mr. Thunder, it was Saturn Girl in the last one, going crazy and maybe talking about things that have happened that nobody else knows about, or things that are going to happen. Like Saturn Girl was freaking out that that guy, the hockey player, was going to get killed, even though it hadn't happened yet. And now Mr. Thunder is going crazy saying, "We lost the Justice Society," and he's just like on the roof in a thunderstorm. So again, we don't know exactly what is going on, but obviously these are going to tie in eventually, and we're going to know what's going on.
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it has something to do with like the stolen memories that they talk about later in this issue that we'll talk about. But I think maybe people are getting flashes of those memories that got stolen, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
So Flash shows up in the Batcave and he does his forensics thing. And it was cool to see like how passionate he describes how passionate he is about forensics and how that was really kind of his superpower before he had superpowers and has nothing to do with his superpowers, but he's still good at it.
It's always interesting to see Barry doing that kind of stuff, you know, actually doing his job and sort of investigating and forensicizing.
Yeah. So he has like the big, huge setup in the Batcave. He's like marked everything off, and I thought it was kind of funny he put like tape around stuff. Like, I think that's normally like if you're a policeman and you don't want someone who's not a policeman to enter, you put that tape up. I don't think anybody else is coming here, so
I don't know. Maybe Alfred was getting some ideas, or
I don't know.
He just wanted to keep him away. But yeah, that is a good point. I didn't think about that. But then there's also just Eobard's body laying there, all skeleton-y. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but. So it was nice to see like him talk about his motivations for getting into forensics and how good he is and how good Batman is. I almost just called him Batwayne because I didn't know whether to call him Bruce Wayne or Batman. But how good he is at forensics too. But in doing this, he like checks out Thawne's body, and there's like a unique signature that every speedster has. And he says that Thawne is covered in his signature and thinks about maybe a future version of himself killed him, which sounds like an absolutely ridiculous thing, but sounds pretty normal coming from the Flash.
Yeah.
That's a normal thought. Maybe my future self killed him.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you have an alternate Flash or something like that. And or maybe someone who wanted it to look like Barry killed him.
That's a good point. So Bruce is not dead. They sort of leave it ambiguous. Obviously, we didn't really think he was actually dead, but he's not dead. He got beat up pretty bad. He's pretty badly injured. We get to see some of Flash's bedside manner with him.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about him dying, but I'm glad that Bruce had the snot beat out of him, and it looked like it, and he is suffering from that. So, you know, you get in a fight with a Reverse Flash, and you have no time to prepare. Things might not end well. So I'm glad that they showed him resting and recovering, but then they kind of throw that all the way later
with
him,
right.
With him continuing the journey.
Yeah, and I think Barry talks to him. He just like mentions something about Eobard being fast, and he's like, don't even talk to me about how fast he is.
I know exactly how fast he is. I think he said something like that, which, yeah, you probably figured that out.
So like you said, though, they show him resting, and then there's not a whole lot of rest. Barry takes off. He goes to the Watchtower in space, and they have the big junk room with all of the scary stuff that they should probably not keep in one room.
All the junk.
Right. So he takes out the cosmic treadmill. He's going to use it because he needs to use it. It looks pretty goofy, but it does serve a good purpose. I think the cosmic treadmill looks kind of silly, but...
It's a cosmic treadmill. What do you expect from it?
I don't know. It's literally just a treadmill.
Like, did they not? Is that not what the one they have at your Globo gym?
Yeah, evidently not. We upgraded past that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but I think looks like a cosmic treadmill. It should look.
Bruce just Bruce just shows up, even though he was injured like three panels ago, and I think it looked like most of his bones were broken and he couldn't really move, but he's doing his Batman thing and the mission is more important than his body. And so he shows up in space, which he got to space pretty quickly. But he's not going to let Barry just go on the treadmill by himself. So it doesn't take much convincing and he gets to go along with him. And they're running and they see a bunch of weird stuff. They see like alternative realities of the Justice League forming and different versions of themselves, but then explain that it's not actually alternate realities, it's stolen memories.
Yeah, so I was like, they're all, Flash is all confused because it's seeing events, you know, that the reader might be familiar with or might look familiar to the reader, but then, and they think it's alternate realities because it's kind of them, but it's not really, and then they figure out, well, their memories were stolen, so this might be part of that.
Yeah. And so that's what leads me to think that maybe that's what's going on with what was happening in the Button Part 1 with Saturn Girl, and then what is happening with Mr. Thunder in this one, that they're getting flashes of those stolen memories or something. They talk about there's something more powerful than Darkseid that is messing with them just to make their lives miserable, basically. And so stealing those memories would be part of that, and maybe now giving flashes of those memories back to people is part of that. And obviously, that's what we're building towards, trying to figure out who or what is behind all this. But Flash does what Flash does, and he runs faster. Says, I have to run faster. So he runs faster, and he runs real fast and breaks the treadmill. And they end up in what looks like maybe they just went back to the past, and there's a somewhat familiar-looking Batcave. But things are a little different because Bruce
They immediately recognize it as the Flashpoint. The Thomas Wayne Batman is there. It's his Batcave and everything. And then he shows up. And it's a really cool moment when Bruce and Thomas come face to face. And there's a whole page for that. That was a really cool moment because if, you know, remember back to Flashpoint when Thomas wrote the letter, which got torn up in the last issue, to Bruce. It was a very emotional moment between them. And obviously... each of them wishes the other was alive in his reality, but that's not the case. So seeing them come together like that was pretty cool and pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that. Obviously, it's going to bounce back to Batman in the next issue, and I'm excited to see them maybe team up father-son. Probably not going to fight small crime on the streets, but maybe doing something together.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see where this is going. This is definitely a great start, two issues in, and the mystery is still there, which is great because it's a Flash Batman story, so you want some sort of mystery and some sort of intrigue with it, and I think they've done a great job with that so far, and it's pretty exciting what they're doing. And I also like that it's Bruce and Barry teaming up for them, so this whole issue is basically just them, other than Alfred has a little role and we see Thomas Wayne at the end, but other than that, it's just basically just Bruce and Barry. So we get to spend a lot of time with them and get to see their friendship, and I don't know, I really liked it as an issue.
Yeah, I liked it too. I mean, it doesn't really answer any questions. It just leaves you with more questions.
Well, that's why it's not the fourth of four.
Right.
It's the second of four.
Exactly. Yeah, like you said, it's just adding to the mystery, but it's a mystery that I'm interested in, so I'm okay with that. And but as big of a mystery it is, like you said, it's kind of a smaller contained story just because they're kind of limiting the scope of the number of characters. That was one of the things of the Suicide Squad Justice League crossover, is that there's just so many characters to juggle. And although right. I think they did a good job with it, this is just something that is, you know, different because there's less characters, and so that's something I like about this.
Yeah, it's mainly two characters, and their relationship is all we've explored so far. I'm sure we'll get into more characters in the upcoming issues and everything, but so far that's all we've dealt with. Even though it's a massive universe or multiverse spanning crossover, if you think about it, the implications for it, but it's just focusing on these two characters, and I really like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, any other thoughts on this issue, Zach?
No, I really enjoyed it, and just makes me more excited to read the next one.
All right, well, we'll be back soon with Batman number 22. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out DC Daily Drop on Twitter, Facebook, and DCDailyDrop.com. Drop by tomorrow for more DC news.